Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Wow, what a great time of praise and worship we have had. We're going to change things up a little bit today. We're going to get right into the Word of God. Amen? Amen. You know, the Bible says that it's the entrance of His Word that gives light. And I believe the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. Amen? Amen. Incidentally, on September 8th, we're celebrating Pastor Brenda's birthday and her brother, Ricky Edwards, is going to be here for both the morning and evening services. So don't miss it. It's going to be awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence in this place today. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of the living God. We stand on the Word of God that says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Thank you, Lord, that there is freedom in our hearts and freedom in our souls, freedom in our bodies, Lord. And we come against and stand against any distractions of the evil one during this time of the Word and the Spirit. We bind the devil in Jesus' name, and we proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord over every word that is spoken and over everyone that is in this place in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
We're doing a series called The Spirit of Faith. So open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 13th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, the Apostle Paul said, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Paul was equipped with the spirit of faith. You and I have been equipped with the same spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul, as we read last week, faced a lot of difficulties and a lot of troubles. For example, in verse 8 and 9, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, we were not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We may get knocked down, but thank God we get up. Knocked down, but knocked out. Not knocked out. So the Living Bible says it like this. So we don't give up, and we don't quit. One of the first things I want to say to you this morning is this. The spirit of faith is not fragile. The spirit of faith is tough. Quitting is never an option for those who have the spirit of faith. And I will say this as well, failure is not an option for you. Amen. It's not an option. So we know that trouble comes to each and every one of us. Jesus addressed this in John 16 and verse 33. We notice he says, I've told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. Thank God for shalom. Thank God for nothing missing and nothing broken in our lives. He said, the things that I've told you give you peace and confidence. Now he says, basically, in the world, you're going to have some trouble. But notice with me, he says, but be of good cheer. And then he defines what good cheer means. Take courage. That means courage is available to all of us. But we've got to take it. And we've got to receive it. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I have conquered it for you. Aren't you glad he did? Therefore, we can say, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him that conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil for us. Amen.
Amen.
Try that on for size. Say with me, I'm more.
I'm more.
I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
So we noticed then, last week we said this, that the spirit of faith, it is the spirit of victory. You and I, we're on the victory side.
Amen.
A lot of people are living over on Worry Avenue, but we're right over here, glory to God, on Victory Square.
Yes.
Amen? We're not in the loser's circle. We're in the winner's circle. Amen. As a matter of fact, he's made you a king. And he's made you a priest unto God. And as kings and priests unto God, we are to reign in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So trouble comes. Now understand this. Your faith will not prevent mountains. Your faith will not prevent all mountains. But one thing it will do, it will move them. Amen. We got any mountain movers in the house this morning? Now, if we were able to ask the Apostle Paul this morning, Paul, what is it that you have that keeps you from quitting, keeps you from collapsing under pressure? The Apostle Paul would say, well, I have the spirit of faith. And then if we were asked him, what is it that has caused you to succeed? What is it that has caused you to be productive in life and in ministry? I believe that Paul would say, it's because I have had the spirit of faith. Now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, I'm smarter than you. He didn't say, I'm better looking than you. He didn't say, I'm more educated than you. He said, I have the spirit of faith. The Apostle Paul absolutely knew his purpose. And as a result of him knowing his purpose, he didn't let anything pull him off track. And when you have the spirit of faith, and when you know your purpose in life, you'll understand that it is an eternal purpose. And you will come to understand that your temporary circumstances cannot change God's eternal plan for your life. Why? Because you're not looking at the seen realm. He's given you faith of a higher kind. He's given you faith of a better sight. He enables us to look into the unseen realities of God's word and appropriate our faith and receive all that God's got for us. Woo, glory to God, and I'm happy about it. That means that what we have on the inside of us is greater than any problem we'll ever face. And when you and I operate and function in the spirit of faith, we will come to an understanding that our words carry great power. Our words can affect the direction and the destiny of our lives. And that means to you and I, the devil cannot stop us. Why? Because our purpose is greater than our pleasure. Our call is greater than our comfort. Therefore, we refuse to back down. We refuse to quit. Say with me, I have the spirit of faith. Amen. Now, the spirit of faith, it is not the mindset of faith. Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. You do not believe God with your mind. Now, thank God for having a sound mind. But where faith is, it's of the heart. And it is with the heart that man believeth. What that means is we can believe God in our heart, in our spirit, with turbulence and doubt in our soul. Amen. This faith that is on the inside of you, when it is cultivated and developed, will override the turmoil and the distractions of this age and the things that come into your mind. You see, it's out of your heart that flows the forces of life, that flows the outgoings of life, that flows the wellspring of life. God has placed on the inside of every one of us the God kind of faith. Amen. Amen. And the spirit of faith does not just come by cataloging a lot of scriptures and information on faith. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it's not about being mechanical and learning all the right steps. It is not just the knowledge of faith. It is the spirit of faith. It is not a mechanical formula. The spirit of faith, it is a fire. It is a fire. Now, the principles of faith can and should be taught. But I'm telling you, the spirit of faith can be caught. The spirit of faith can be caught in this place. The spirit of faith can be caught in your home. The spirit of faith can be caught in your business. The spirit of faith can be caught in your children. The spirit of faith can be caught in your grandchildren. If you will be an example, if you will be a man or a woman of God that follows the song, I trust in God. I trust in God. I trust in God with my finances. I trust in God with my children. I trust in God. I trust in God. And it is an example that will get off on your children. I was so delighted yesterday that as my two grandchildren in Southern California, they go to a church of about 15,000 people. Today, my oldest son, John, will host about five services between last night and today. And they were getting ready to lead worship, I believe, among the children's ministry. And they were in their living room and they had something on the screen and they were jumping and praising God because they were practicing leading worship. They didn't get that at Disneyland. They didn't get that by watching television all day. They got that by watching mom and dad. And mom and dad got it by watching Grammy and Grandpa. I'm telling you what, folks, the spirit of faith is transferable. It can be caught. Oh, catch the spirit of faith this morning. Woo, glory to God. And so the spirit of faith is more than steps. It's got to be a fire that burns in your heart. I like what David said in Psalms. I believe it's Psalms 18. And notice with me in verses 28 through 30. Verse 28 says, "For thou wilt light my candle." The Lord my God, he will enlighten my darkness. And Paul and David said, and I'll tell you what, when my candle got lit, not before my candle got lit, but after my candle got lit, after my spirit man got empowered by my God, next verse, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. See, there's a lot of people trying to run through troops and leap over walls before their candle is lit. And that's why they hit a lot of walls without overcoming them. But oh, dear brothers and sisters, when your candle gets lit with the fire of God, when your candle gets lit with the word of God, then you'll be able to look at your mountain and say, "Be removed." You'll be able to run through that troop. You'll be able to leap over a wall. Woo, glory to God. Do we have any runners in the house today? Do we have any leapers in the house today? Glory to God. I advise each and every one of you to get your candle lit and keep your candle lit. For it is the entrance of His Word that's going to give you light. It's the entrance of His Word that's going to make all the difference in your world. There will be walls. There will be troops. But you and I, we're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. We're filled with the Word of the living God. And the Word of the living God will put us over. Come on, somebody, shout with me this morning. Woo, glory. By my God, I'm going to run through a troop. And I'm going to leap over a wall. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're not going to look at it this morning, but over 20 times he mentions by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Abel, by faith Moses, by faith Joshua. Hebrews chapter 11, we could say, is the hall of faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, did you know, is filled with men and women that were not perfect? Men and women just like you. And men just like me. How many of you know you do not have to be perfect to walk with God? Your goal is perfection. But how many of you know we need to let some things go and press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ? But he wanted you and I to get this by faith. By faith, Jimmy. By faith, Raul. By faith, Al. Glory to God. By faith, Mark. And by faith, Mike. Great things can and will be accomplished by faith. So I said it over 20 times. By faith, Heart of the Bay paid their property off. Amen. By faith. Oh, no, no, no. Not just the faith of Brenda and I, or Pastor Tom, Kimberly, or Pastor Nancy. No, the faith of each and every one of you. A corporate faith teaming up on debt. By faith, we will pay our building off years and years ahead of time. Woo, glory to God. Everyone say by faith. So we see this spirit of faith was passed on. It was passed on from Abraham to who? To Moses. To Isaac. And then eventually Moses. And then it was passed on from Moses to Joshua. It was passed on from Elijah to Elisha. It was passed on from Jesus to his disciples. And it was passed on from Paul to Timothy. And as we enter into the Word of God, it is passed on to you and I. Amen. Moses had the spirit of faith. I mean, he's at the Red Sea, right? And the Egyptian army is after him. But Moses at the Red Sea put forth his rod, and God parted the Red Sea. Did that take some faith? And who was standing by? It was Joshua. He saw Moses with the spirit of faith. And when it was time for Joshua to exercise the spirit of faith, he did also. But here's what Joshua did. Joshua was in a battle with several kings that came against him. Because Joshua and the children of Israel were possessing the land. And they had taken a major city called Ai out. And the kings were very nervous because Gibeon was the next town that they took. And Gibeon was a very highly populated and a very wealthy city, and they were concerned about it. So the kings conspired together to fight against Joshua and the warriors of Israel. And so Joshua, praise God, a man of God with the spirit of faith, and his warriors, they came down and they faced those armies, and they literally were annihilating each and every one of them. But the job wasn't quite finished yet. And Moses and Joshua said, I need a little bit more time. And so what Joshua did is he commanded the sun to stand still. He commanded the sun to stand still so that he could finish his job. Woo, glory to God. And the sun stood still. Notice in Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still. Do you suppose that Joshua had the spirit of faith? And the sun stood still. And the moon stayed unto the people until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Yashar? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven. And hasted not to go down about a whole day. Verse 14, let's read it together. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now pay particular attention to that phrase, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. Amen. Do you suppose if the Lord hearkened to the voice of Joshua, he will hearken unto your voice? When you align your voice with his word, he watches over his word to perform it in your life. Oh, glory to God. And what I want you to see is this. The spirit of faith is contagious. So hang around people that have it. Amen. Don't let people talk you out of the faith message. They've been trying to talk me out of it for decades. Well, you don't go to that word church, do you? You don't pastor a word church, do you? Well, what kind of a church would you like me to pastor? A doubt church? An unbelief church? Well, you're not connected with that minister, are you? You're not connected with him, are you? I got called on the carpet one day. I was about to launch out into a particular area of ministry. I need to be careful how I say this because I don't want to expose anybody. And I was just about ready to sign a contract for launching out in this particular area of ministry. And I'd gone in there and I had preached for a while. They listened to me preach. And they said, we need to talk to you after you're done. And so they pulled me into the office and they said, well, we have vetted you. And I said, well, what does vet mean? I'm not a veteran. We have vetted you. In other words, we have checked you out. And they said, we understand that you're affiliated with a certain minister. And if I named his name, you'd all know who that is. And so I sat in that office and I was nice about it, but I knew that the deal was off. I was offered an earlier time in the morning when nobody listens. And I said, no, no, thank you. I was very nice about it, very Christ-like about it. But you know what? I am not going to back off with supernatural connections and supernatural relationships that I have had and cultivated throughout my whole life. I have chosen to dance with the ones who brung me. Amen. I've just flat chosen to stay affiliated and associated with those that have the spirit of faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Now that doesn't mean we fall out of sorts with other people that don't agree with us. How many of you know that you can disagree without being disagreeable?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But you never want to back down and you never want to compromise who you are. Well, are you a graduate from Rhema Bible Training Center where Kenneth Hagin was the main person? Absolutely I am, and I'm proud of it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't think I can go to your church. Well, how many of you know there's a lot of other churches that people can go to? Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
So do not let people talk you out of your walk.
That's right.
What do you mean, talk me out of my walk? Well, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we're going to walk by faith, and if the spirit of faith is contagious, then we need to make sure that we're associated with those that have gone before us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, the Bible says that through faith and patience, we are to inherit the promises. But the first part of that verse says, be followers of them. I want to follow those who have succeeded. I want to follow those who are debt free. I want to follow those who have proven track records of ministry, not just for a decade, but for decades and decades and decades and decades. And they're still alive, and they're still standing, and they're still healthy, and they're still wise, and they're still pressing toward the mark. Amen. So don't let any unbelieving believers, if there is such a thing, don't let any unbelieving believers talk you out of your walk.
Amen.
Oh, say, may I have.
I've
got the spirit of faith.
I've got the
I've got the measure of mountain moving faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So the spirit of faith is contagious. I'm quite sure that each and every one of us need four crazy friends.
Crazy.
Pastor Tom corrected me the other night in the spirit of love. But I said, Pastor Tom is one of my crazy friends. He said, I'm one of your crazy friends. And it's true. He'll help me praise through my midnight hours. How many of you know that every Paul needs a Silas? And every Silas needs a Paul. What do you mean, Paul and Silas at midnight? Beaten up, put in jail, told them to shut their mouths. Well, they were not about to shut their mouths. The Bible says they prayed, number one, and they sang praises to God. See, Paul had Silas, who was a crazy friend, and Silas had Paul, who was a crazy friend. And what happened as a result? Woo-hoo-hoo! Amen. I'm telling you, a whole lot of shaking going on. And it wasn't Elvis. No, it was the Holy Ghost. It was the power of God that came in that jail cell and shook the very foundations. Jesus triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. He shook the foundations. He shook the foundations of hell. And he came up out of that grave, victorious, head of the church. Everyone needs at least four crazy friends. You think about those guys that took that man that was debilitated by sickness and disease, and they heard that Jesus, come on somebody, Jesus was in the house. And the Bible said, as he was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal every one of them. That includes the doctors of the law. That includes all the doubters. None of them got healed. Why? Because they did not activate the power that was present to heal them. They turned the power of the way. They backed off from the power. But there were four crazy friends on the roof. I said there were four crazy friends on the roof. They lifted up their friend up on the roof. See, they couldn't get in the house, but nothing was going to keep them from getting to Jesus that is in the house. Amen. And today you almost have to beg people to come to church. These things ought not to be so. Jesus is in the house. There's a healer in the house. There's a fire in the house. There's glory in the house. Woo. I don't know whether you're getting helped or not, but I'm getting helped up in here. So these four crazy friends, they're up there on the roof, Richard, and they let down their friend through the tiling of the roof so that they could bring him to Jesus in the house. And don't you suppose, Pastor Tom, all the time when they're lifting him up on the roof, they're talking to him. Things are going to be all right. Now is your time. Jesus is in the house. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Today is your day of deliverance. Today is your day of salvation. Glory to God. Everyone say, Jesus is in the house. So they let him down through the tiling of the roof to get to Jesus. What do you think the owner thought? The owner probably thought, oh man, here's $4,000 or $5,000. Better call up State Farm. Whatever. But they let him down through the tiling of the roof to get to Jesus.
Amen.
And when he got to Jesus, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. You are healed and you are whole. But the thing that Jesus saw, he said, he saw their faith. Now understand that, not just his faith. It took faith for him to be lifted up. But he saw there. They saw there a plurality of faith. Those with the spirit of faith. Amen. Are you that crazy friend? Would you like someone to lift you up through the tile of the roof and let you down if you needed it? I declare in the name of Jesus, Heart of the Bay Christian Center is filled with crazy friends. Filled with people with the spirit of faith. Amen. Come on, somebody. Shout yes. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. I think we ought to praise Him. I think we ought to praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I am so glad that when I got born again, I had several men of God that surrounded me with faith. I had about a dozen crazy friends. I didn't know anything. I'd been off drugs for 2 months. But these crazy friends, they took me under their wing. And they mentored me. And they talked to me. And they preached the word of God to me. And they lifted up my hands when my hands felt weak. They surrounded me with their faith and their love. Yes, in a sense, they let me down through the tiling of the roof. Glory to God. And I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but they helped me to know Him better than I've never known Him before. And you can be one of those crazy friends. You that know their God, you can be strong. And you can be strong for other people. And you can see great exploits happen in other people's lives. Get your mind off yourself. Get your mind off your circumstances. Get your mind off the pain in your body. Get your mind off the debt of the income in your life. Get your mind off those things and lift up your head. Glory to God. And look unto Jesus. And say, Lord, I'm available to be a crazy friend. I'm available, glory to God, to mentor others. I'm available to give a good word in season. How many of you know people need a good word? And there is no better thing to offer people than the good word of the living God. When they just taste and see of this word that He is so good. Woo, glory to God, save me. I'm tasting. And I see that the Lord is good to me. So this spirit of faith comes by association. It comes by impartation. It comes by reading great books of people that are in heaven. People like Smith Wigglesworth. People like John G. Lake. People like Kenneth E. Hagin. Somebody says, well, who was your spiritual father? Well, my heavenly father is my spiritual father, but Brother Hagin was my earthly spiritual father. Well, who's your spiritual father now? Well, my heavenly father is my spiritual father, but Dad Hagin is still my spiritual father, even though he's in heaven. Well, how can you stay connected with him? I can stay connected by listening to his words. I can stay connected to him by reading his books. I can stay connected to him, glory to God, by living in what he has imparted to us. Amen. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Amen. You listen so good. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I want us to get some things before that we close. I don't want to preach too long this morning because we're going to have a barn burner tonight. We're going to have a stem winder. Amen? Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read it together. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So those with the spirit of faith, number one, they find the word. Number two, they believe the word. And number three, they speak the word. Now notice this, two main ingredients, believing and speaking. What this is saying to you and I this morning is this: our belief system must be connected to our sound system. It's not enough just to be a believer. We must also be a speaker. In other words, say what you believe. It's not enough to just have faith in your heart. Your faith must also be in your mouth. Our believer must be connected to our speaker. Make sure that your speaker is not connected to your feelings. Make sure your speaker is not connected to how you feel in your soul or in your body. It's just as easy for you to say, "I'm full of the joy of the Lord," as it is to say, "I feel so depressed." Make sure that your speaker, listen to this one, is not connected to other people's opinions. How many of you know that people can be very opinionated? And they do not delay to give you a piece of their mind. I like what one person said: "When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you." Our believing and our speaking opens the door to the supernatural. And I'm telling you, God delights to do supernatural things in and for people just like you. Well, I've seen Him do some supernatural things in other people's lives. Listen, friend, He's no respecter of persons. He loves you, He's for you, and He's on your side. Amen. And so the door to the supernatural opens on two hinges. That's the way you got saved. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Don't go to sleep. This is good. Since we're not on our feet anymore, well, just sit there and receive. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Read it with me. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved." Verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So what this is saying is our confession of Jesus activates our salvation. The miracle of the new birth is activated by your words. And salvation is an all-inclusive word. It not only means salvation from your sins, but it means wholeness for your body. It means prosperity and total well-being for your entire being. It's with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said in Mark 11 and verse 23, let's bring it up. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you," let's read it together. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." He did not say he shall have whatsoever he believeth. He said he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so faith must be reached in words through your mouth. You notice in that verse, count it up. How many times did he say the word say or saith? How many times? Look at it. How many times did he say the word say? And so he emphasized what you say three times. And he emphasized believe once. The Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and said, since that's the case, you'll have to do 3 more times the teaching on the saying part that you do the believing part. And you know who you are, don't you? You're a believer. And what do believers do? Believers believe. Don't make it difficult. You see it in the Word and you say, you know what? I believe that. And because I believe that, I'm going to say that. And because I say that, I'm going to have what I say. Hallelujah. Charles Capps, many years ago, wrote a little book called God's Creative Power. How many of you have that book? A lot of you have it. God's Creative Power. Go to Amazon and get it. It's probably a dollar or two. Charles Capps said this, I've told my people they can have what they say, but they are saying what they have. And then he went on to say, for as long as you say what you have, you will have what you say. And I say, if you want to change what you have, start saying what the Word says. Confess victory in the face of apparent defeat. Confess abundance in the face of apparent lack. Mark Hankins says it this way. If your faith is not strong enough to move your mountain, it'll never move your mountain. Did you know that any time God wants to change a person's life, He always touches their mouth? In closing, look with me at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody shout glory.
Glory!
That tells me you're still here. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Did you know that? You've been on His radar a long time. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, my hand has been upon you. I knew you before. And he's saying the same thing to us today. But notice his response to this. And this is the response that a lot of people have when they hear a word from the Lord. Verse 6, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. Never say you're not able.
Amen.
Never talk about your background. Never talk about your lack of education. Never say I'm too young. And for heaven's sake, for you that are in your 70s, never say you're too old. You're only as old as you think. And you're only as old as you talk. There are people in their 40s that all they can talk about is their aches and pains and that they're getting so old. That is not the way you want to do life. You want to do life in light of the light of God's Word. So what does God's Word say? God's Word says He's renewing my youth. Just like the eagles. Pastor Tom and I, we're growing some new feathers. Amen. Pastor Tom is not 70 yet, but I tell you what, when he turns 70, he's going to be the youngest next to Pastor Brenda, the 70-year-old I've ever seen. Amen.
That's right.
Well, Pastor Mark, aren't you thinking about retiring? No. Why retire? What am I going to do if I retire? I can only play so many rounds of golf. And Chuck will testify, I'm a lousy golfer. Last time Chuck and I went golfing, we had a great time, but I'm sure he was thinking, man, he's lost a few steps on the golf course. You can only travel to Hawaii so many times. We were thinking, you know, about what are we going to do for Brenda's birthday? She's turning 70 September 11th. What are we going to do? Well, we've been here, we've been there. That doesn't seem right. No, let's not do that. So we figured something else out that's in the States. See, you don't have to retire. You can be renewed. And I was in the locker room the other day, and there was an orthopedic surgeon there. And I talked to him a little bit. I knew that he was from Kaiser, and I knew that he was a great doctor, and I knew that he was retired. And so I asked him, I said, Doc, how you doing? I said, I know you're retired. Are you staying busy enough? And his response was, well, I'm trying to. And he's there working out, so he's trying to. Amen? But you can only work out so many days a week.
That's right.
Now, you may stop working a natural job when you're 65. You may stop working a natural job when you're 68, but you still have a job to do.
Yes, amen. Come on.
You know what? I thought I'd get a better amen, Paul. You still have a job.
Amen.
What is your job? Your job is to serve God.
Yes.
Your job is to get planted in the local church.
Yes.
Your job is to show up.
Yes.
Your job is to roll up your sleeves and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you not with sadness. I'm going to serve you with gladness all the days of my life. As long as I have breath, I'm going to praise him. As long as I have breath, I'm going to serve him. So, don't ask me if I'm going to retire. You know the answer. Don't get tired of me. Keep praying for me. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. And here's what the Lord said in verse 7. Are you ready? But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. Say not I'm too old. Say not I'm too young. Say not I'm too broke. Say not I'm a child. For here's my plan for you. You shall go to all that I send you. Each and every one of you are sent to somebody. I love this. And whatsoever I command you, thou shalt speak. Verse 6. Be not afraid of your future. Be not afraid of your present reality. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then what did the Lord do? The Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. It's a marvelous thing when you stop cussing. It's a marvelous thing when you stop cursing people on the freeway. It's a good thing. Come on, somebody, when the Lord touches your mouth. When the Lord touches your mouth, he makes crooked speech straight. When the Lord touches your mouth, he rearranges things in your life. Amen. Whoo. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Oh, read verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nation. I set you over your family. I set you over the United States of America. I set you over the Bay Area. I set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. To do what? To root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Here's what God is saying to you, Heart of the Bay, this morning. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. And when you speak my word, it's going to uproot some things in your life. It's going to tear down some big things. And it's going to build and it's going to plant some new things. What does that mean? What that means is this. When you dare to speak God's word with the spirit of faith, it's going to change some scenery in your life. And I sense the Spirit of God saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready for some scenery to be changed in your life. And it's not going to come from the Democrats. And it's not going to come from the Republicans. Well, Joe Biden said this and Donald Trump said that. Well, fine and good. But I want what God said. What did God say? What is God saying? Amen. It's not going to come from those avenues. It's going to come not from the White House. It's going to come from your house. It's going to come from your mouth. It's going to come from your voice. It is the spirit of faith. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. That word almond means watching. Yeah, yeah. And in verse 12, he said, and the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. He is actively watching for people and places where he can put on a grand performance. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Pastor Tom to come back and Pastor Brenda to come. I know I've preached myself happy today and there's much more, but can you come back next week? Yeah. What about the rest of you? Can you come back next week? Yeah. Glory to God. With the spirit of faith, God will watch over his word to perform it on your behalf. Amen. Give him something to work with. Hallelujah. How many of you have got a cell phone? How many of you know the cell phone's got several apps on it that can tell you exactly where to get Starbucks? All you got to do is speak into it and say, where's the nearest Starbucks? Well, the nearest Starbucks is da-da-da-da-da. Amen. Glory to God. And so it is voice activated. And the goodness of God and the presence of God is voice activated in your life. Why not give him something to work with? Yes. He is the apostle and high priest of our profession. He's watching over his word to perform it. Come on up, sweetie. Glory to God. Let's all stand to our feet.